Hi, good morning. I just want to talk to you briefly about some of my research that is taking place at Penn State University. I'm interested in carbon sequestration and also switchgrass cultivation. So a little background info about what mine soils are, specifically surface mining. These soils tend to be low in organic matter, have low fertility, fairly acidic, high bulk density, and because of that, it's difficult to establish vegetation on these sites. In Pennsylvania alone, we have 4,000 to 5,000 acres of current surface mining activity, so these are sites that will need to be reclaimed. And then on top of that, there's 250,000 acres of abandoned mine lands in Pennsylvania. And the reclamation practice is typically something that we look for a cheap way to green it up, to say. So what we're really interested in is try to establish some sort of vegetation. And the cheapest way that is done usually is to apply a lime and fertilizer and then plant a mixed stand of grasses. So really what we see in this picture is typically what happens. In Pennsylvania, we have a lot of excess nutrients near us. And since Pennsylvania is in the Chesapeake Bay watershed region, we have an interest to move some of that excess nutrients. So a lot of these poultry farms, dairy farms, et cetera, we need to move this excess nitrogen to a location that can accept it. Well, nearby, we happen to have a lot of these mine sites that can take this manure material. And we have two ways we can apply this. We can compost this material, and we can also apply that fresh. To adjust for that, because if we apply this fresh, then we are, at the amount we need, then we end up with a lot of nitrogen leaching. So we mix this with paper mill sludge to adjust the C-to-N ratio, and this way we can apply at a much higher rate than we typically could if we were just to apply it just as manure itself. So that larger study, what I am interested in really is just increasing carbon in the soil itself, so increasing the carbon stocks. So that's interesting because it offsets CO2 emissions, but as well it improves the soil properties of the soil properties. It also influences the overall soil health. And these mine sites, because they are so low originally in carbon, they have a potential to act as a large carbon sink. And again, because they're so low compared to natural systems, they usually can have greater carbon sequestration when compared to a natural system. So the overall objectives of my study is to distinguish between carbon increases that are due to amendments and also biomass production. Then we want to know what amount of that, what rate of that amendment carbon is lost, and then what's the addition rate of that biomass carbon that's going into the system. And lastly, we want to know long-term how long is this carbon going to remain in the soil. That's what we're really interested in, is carbon sequestration. So we want to know what fraction of all of this carbon in the whole soil is actually stable. So we have two sites. One was initiated in 2006 called Schuylkill here to your right. It's in the anthracite coal mining region. This is an abandoned mine site. And then we also have one that we call Amy. It was initiated in 2009. This was an active mining site at the time when we started this. And this is in the bituminous. So these are very different areas as in terms of coal, and one being abandoned, one being an active mine site. And the Schuylkill site is the abandoned mine site. There were five reclamation treatments, but I've just focused on three of these. So our controls are ground limestone and inorganic fertilizer. We added a composted poultry manure, and finally a blend of fresh poultry manure and paper mill sludge with an adjusted C-N ratio of 20:1. In the Amy site, we took what we knew from the Schuylkill site, what could we apply this to our new site, we took the three treatments, but on top of that, also added monocultures and mixed stands. In my case, I'm only focusing on the switchgrass treatments in terms of just trying to figure out some of our carbon factors here. So we have the same idea where we had ground limestone, inorganic fertilizer, a composted horse bedding and poultry layer manure, and a blend of fresh poultry manure and paper mill sludge with an adjusted C-N ratio of 20:1. So how can we differentiate between these carbon sources? If you notice, we have a lot of carbon sources going into this system. Just looking back on some studies that have occurred in the past, if you have something that has a C3 or C4 signature, as you change that speciation in your system, you can actually then begin to trace carbon losses and carbon additions into your soil. So I measured 13 C values from our background soils, our amendments, and our switchgrass, and this is giving us some sort of insight into our contribution and losses. So just measure 13 C using an IRMS and using a simple mixing model equation here, the second line, where you just take your old values, your new values, and then have this, and you end up with a fractionated value. And we can see that our additions that we added, the switchgrass or any C4 grasses, have a range that is typical of C4. And our amendment carbon luckily had had very close to C3 values that we could use. And because in this system our plant residues are our main source of organic carbon, we can conclude that any changes that we see in isotopes are either going to be from switchgrass additions or amendment losses. And finally, how are we quantifying sequestered carbon? Really through aggregation. Macroaggregates are typically labile carbon. Microaggregates are recalcitrant carbon. And take that one step further, as microaggregates incorporate themselves into macroaggregates, those are even more recalcitrant or resistant to breakdown. So whenever I'm referring to sequestered carbon in this talk, I am referring to microaggregates within macroaggregates. So to look at soil organic carbon through the years, in the Schuylkill site, we see just a general increase in our organic carbon stocks, and that's really related to our yield, and we'll see that here in the next slide. So we see yields follow the same trend as our organic carbon increases. Here, the manure, paper, sludge, and compost really aren't significantly different, but we have seen an increasing trend, and lime and fertilizer treatments have some of the lower yields on that end. So the total soil carbon derived from our amendments and switchgrass, here we have our compost, lime and fertilizer, manure, paper mill sludge. We see that the compost and the manure, paper mill sludge, that amendment carbon that's remaining back in the whole soil is very large. And then the switchgrass inputs for each of these in that system are fairly equal. So we're seeing that material, that amendment material, is remaining behind in our system, and also a big input of just carbon from switchgrass as well. So this is kind of almost 50-50 here in our whole soil. And then as we move into actually the stable soil carbon, we see that the compost, manure, paper mill sludge, again, they contribute to overall aggregation. A lot of that manure, paper mill sludge, though, remains behind more than compost does itself. And we see that, you know, switchgrass also is contributing, but not so much in manure, paper mill sludge. So the compost is remaining behind, but not nearly as high as the manure, paper mill sludge. As for the AMI sites, we see the same idea, where we have an increase in our percent carbon throughout the soil, or throughout the years, but there's a little dip here in the newer paper mill sludge, and that's probably just due to the rapid cycling that occurs once you apply this newer paper mill sludge. So we do see a drop, but it's still fairly high compared to lime and fertilizer treatments, as well as to the compost. And the yields, again, the yields look very similar to what we saw in Schuylkill. We saw compost yields, lime and fertilizer yields, and manure paper mill sludge yields. One issue that we might see is that the manure paper mill sludge yields are still very high. They're remaining very high, but we don't see an overall increase in carbon. Well, this carbon that comes from switchgrass is more rapidly cycled anyway, so it's lost from the system. As for our total carbon derived from amendments and switchgrass in the AMI, we see that that the amendment carbon and the compost is a greater contributor than the newer paper mill sludge and the lime and fertilizer. And then that's the same. And then, but the switchgrass, we saw that the manure paper mill sludge had the greatest yield. So we do see a much larger percent or larger amount of that switchgrass being added to the overall soil. As for the stable carbon that's derived from amendments of switchgrass, this table is actually flipped here. So, the manure paper mill sludge should be up there in lime fertilizer in the next row. But what we see is the compost, again, that contributes to the aggregation. The manure paper mill sludge, again, though, is staying behind in a much greater amount in that aggregate itself. And the switchgrass doesn't contribute as much as it does in lime and fertilizer, but that's sort of understandable because the lime and fertilizer didn't have a lot of background carbon to work with in the first place. So some conclusions that we can draw from this so far is that the compost carbon persists longer than the manure paper mill sludge in the whole soil. We saw that in the previous slides. And this is probably just due to the fact that the carbon in compost itself is already fairly resistant to breakdown. It's already gone through that process. The manure paper mill sludge, on the other hand, has it's rapidly cycling once you add it to the soil, so it's going through that whole process. And then more of that manure paper mill sludge carbon than compost carbon is sequestered in the microaggregates. And again, that's probably related to the same thing, that just that rapid cycling of the carbon in the manure paper mill sludge is occurring than the compost, as it's resistant to any further breakdown. It's not being incorporated into aggregates itself. And finally, switchgrass yields with organic amendments are greater than those with lime and fertilizers. So we should expect to see an increase in carbon sequestration. And if we were to make some sort of suggestion, it would be that organic amendments are more important to this if you're going through reclaimed mine sites, and that manure paper mill sludge is maybe even more important in terms of longer carbon sequestration or persistence in your system. So I have a few things left to do to try to tease some of this out. So we want to know the whole carbon cycle of what happens during compost. We see that it's being sequestered in this system, but we don't know what happens before that. So when the fresh material is composted, that's a lot of that carbon is lost during composting. So we'd like to know the whole cycle of carbon in that. We also want to measure the root mass to better determine the root contribution to soil carbon. So the isotopes give us a pretty good idea, but we don't know fully how much of that carbon is actually from roots. And if we can measure root mass, then we can narrow that down. And lastly, we want to measure the coal and shell carbon to separate these sources from soil organic carbon, because we know that, especially the Schuylkill site, if we're looking at some of that background, we have percent carbon values of 4%, and that's too high. We think that's too high. So we'd like to then also separate this out and then have a more idea of what's actually soil organic carbon. All right, thank you. Yes.
Are your carbon values adjusted for changes in soil carbon density?
Yes, they are.
Any more questions?
Yes.
Were there any of the mine or anything else that limited growth, like any toxicities or anything that were present in these soils?
In these soils or just in general?
These
soils do not have anything that's particularly toxic. They're just acidic and low nutrients, so it makes it difficult to establish vegetation, but they don't have anything present that would prevent growth other than acidity, really. In the Schuylkill site, they were somewhere in the 4 range, about 4.5. And the Amy site, a little bit higher, but not much. They're maybe about 5. Yes. We did measure the pH of the sludge and manure. It's alkaline because the paper mill sludge has calcium carbonate in it, so it actually brings up the pH of the soil. Manure tends to be acidic, but with that addition of the paper mill sludge, we actually bring the pH up in that soil.
Any more questions? I have a question.
Yes.
Why do you have a rather strict definition of sequestered carbon, of stable carbon? And how did you assess it?
It's really difficult to define what's stable carbon in this system since it's rather young. So we needed something that we could actually say, okay, this is sequestered carbon down the line. And a lot of papers point to microaggregates within macroaggregates as a sequestered source of carbon, something that would at least last 10 to 15 years. So that's what I was looking for. And really just for this talk to define that, that's what the term I was going to use.
Thank you.